WDF WHD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Eggland's Best.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. A political standoff in Texas continues this morning as President Trump pushes lawmakers to redraw congressional districts ahead of next year's midterm elections to favor Republicans. Reporter Chris Fox has our top story.
Quorum has been broken, arrest warrants issued, and Governor Abbott has ordered state troopers to return House Democrats back to the state capitol. Texas House Speaker Dustin Burroughs weighed in.
They've shirked their responsibilities under the direction and pressure of out-of-state politicians and activists who don't know the first thing about what's right for Texas.
Many of the Texas Democrats are holed up in Illinois. State Rep Ann Johnson is one.
Texas Republicans are willing to sell their soul to serve the interest of Donald Trump.
Abbott's expected to keep calling special sessions till the congressional map is passed. Chris Fox for CBS News, Austin.
Massive wildfires are spreading in the West. Firefighters north of Los Angeles are dropping retardant on flames tearing through Los Padres National Forest. Spokesman Fleming Bertelson.
This year, we had less than 50% of our annual rainfall. And as a result, the fuels are at less than 50% moisture content right now, which is it's a critical level right now.
Crews have been working through the night with bulldozers cutting containment lines to keep the fire from spreading to about 360 homes nearby in Santa Barbara County. Smoke from wildfires in Canada still wafting into the Great Lakes and Northeast. CBS meteorologist David Parkinson.
For at least the next several days, if you have any sort of respiratory ailments, you should spend as little time outside as possible in the Northeast and Midwest, as we will be seeing unhealthy for sensitive groups to unhealthy air quality over the next couple of days.
Nebraska's Republican Congressman Mike Flood was met with calls to vote him out as he defended President Trump's new budget package at a town hall meeting in Lincoln.
Do you think that people who are 28 years old that can work and refuse to work should get free health care? I don't think that a majority of Nebraskans agree with you.
The president won Nebraska by 20 percentage points in last year's election. Flood won his district by the same margin. A new AP poll finds the rising price of food as a major source of stress for half of all Americans, among them these women at a supermarket in Fort Lauderdale.
The prices seems to go up every week, but every time I come, I see the difference in the price, especially fruits.
You know, the price is killing me. Instead of saving money in my bank account, I'm using it in groceries.
This is CBS News.
Eggland's Best, the only eggs with more fresh and delicious taste, plus superior nutrition. Eggland's Best, better taste, better nutrition, better egg.
Connecting audiences, powering brands. This is Civic Media. Learn more at civicmedia.us/advertise.
The Brewers win again. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. A rainy night in Georgia. The Brewers and the Braves playing in the mist. Top of the fourth, two men on. And the Brewers' Isaac Collins at the plate. FanDuel, Wisconsin.
Well, 3-2 on Collins. See if they send Yelich. He goes. And a swing and a drive to right field. This has hit a ton. It is gone for Collins. A three-run shot. The Brewers have the lead. Seventh home run of the year for Isaac Collins. How about this kid, Isaac Collins?
The Brewers held on to win 3-1. Their fourth win in a row, thanks to some great base running. Pat Murphy.
I still chalk it up to we base run, you know what I mean? William taking off 3-2 there. The threat of Yelly sealing there 3-2. Maybe it changed the pitch that they threw Collins. Who knows? But credit to Isaac. You know, he put a great swing on a pitch.
NFL, the Packers' new starting defensive back, Nate Hobbs, out for at least the next 3 weeks after having knee surgery. The team hoping to have him back for the season opener against the Lions. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Reach, engage, grow with Civic Media. Log on civicmedia.us/advertise.
We are going to be dealing with more of that wildfire smoke today. Otherwise, mostly sunny with a high right around 82 this afternoon. Tonight, clear. We're going to drop down to 63 tomorrow. More sunshine with a high right around 85. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 63.
Pat Kreitlow
On Tuesday, we'll have Dan Hagen from Newswatch 12 in Rhinelander, Chad Holmes from our Civic Media Station in Wausau, and our Way Up North segment from Ashland.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9.
When we got our home appraised, we felt robbed. Compared to a similar home right around the corner, our appraisal was $80,000 less.
Latino and Black homeowners are about twice as likely as white homeowners to get low appraisals. If you believe your home has been unfairly appraised because of race or national origin, contact HUD at hud.gov/fairhousing. That's hud.gov/fairhousing. Everyone has a right to fair housing. A public service message from HUD in partnership with the National Fair Housing Alliance.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Frank Anderson, who is the founder of WisconsinOlogy.com. You were great in the documentary. That's really exciting.
I'm really not as a documentary filmmaker because I get bored so quick. You have to really dig into your subject and you got to show up every day, sometimes for years.
Yeah.
To let a story unfold or to find a story. I'm good for one day.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap Eau Claire, Chippewa Valley's home
for
the Tom Allball Show.
Pre-recorded content.
Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who considers a silver medal a participation award, Pete Schwabba.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Act 2 of this Monday edition of Nightlight. Good to have you with me. We are, I feel like we're starting slow, Conrad. Do you feel like this is not a regular show? Do you feel like we're moving in slow motion?
I feel like everyone knows that you hate cookie dough now.
Well, I do hate cookie dough. It's just gotten out of hand. It's in everything. Get rid of the cookie dough. Cookies are fine, but not the dough. It's one ice cream, but now it's in, there's mint chocolate chip cookie dough, and it's in everything. It's in the Stephen Colbert ice cream. It's found its way into everything. So thank you for, you know what, Conrad, thank you for putting me in an even crappier mood than I am on this Monday.
Sorry for bringing up cookie dough.
But speaking of cookies, that is our question of the night. It is National Chocolate Chip Cookie Day, so let us know what your favorite chocolate chip cookie is. And we will get to your texts shortly. They're building up, but we'll get to them, folks. We always do. Coming up at 7:35, Kaylin Bavink will be here. She owns the bookstore in Appleton, and we're going to talk about a promotion they're doing. And it's a destination bookstore. Do you know what that means, Conrad?
You have to go there.
Well, that's the very rudimentary. It means people from all over.
Yeah.
Where are you from? Seattle, Washington. We had to come to this bookstore. We've heard so much about it. So it sounds like a really cool place. They have a huge selection of used books. So for those of you that still read, we'll have a discussion with Kaylin at 7:35. And I'm hoping for some motivation. I need to start reading again. I was an English major, for God's sakes, and I don't really read that much unless it's on my phone. And I'm ashamed of myself. What else did we talk about in the first hour? Conrad was a reluctant drag racer. And I don't mean he dressed up for a drag show and raced. I mean, you were in a drag race.
I was in the middle of one.
Middle of one. You were in the way.
Yeah, I was. Yes. Okay. They let me know.
All right. They let you know, right? And then, so let us know, folks, what is your favorite chocolate chip cookie? Who makes the best chocolate chip cookie? And we are going to jump back in. We've got a few more minutes with our first guest of the night. He drove here all the way from the suburbs of Green Bay, what I like to call Fish Creek, Wisconsin, up there in Door County. Alan Kapischke is with me here in the studio. We just talked about the Door County, the Door Kinetic Arts Festival, which takes place September 21st through the 27th. It sounds like a really cool festival, Alan. Is all the programming done? Are you guys just sitting back now?
The programming is done, but the exact times of each event are not quite complete. That'll be coming up pretty soon.
Is this stuff like where you go all day? Like it starts at 9 a.m. and there's a theater workshop or somebody's putting up a play or something like that?
We're all working all day.
Okay.
But we're only sharing with the public two or three times a day, usually.
Okay.
Although sometimes we're also running people out. They're going to be at a high school or at some other location. So I guess there might be three or four things going on.
Yeah. That's pretty cool. Okay. So check out the Door Kinetic Arts Festival. One more time, give us the website or where people can find more information.
It's doorkinetic.com, D-O-O-R-K-I-N-E-T-I-C.com.
Love it. All right. I go to Door County a lot, but I've never. I mean, that's like the perfect time to go to Door County too. Like in September, yeah. Colors are starting to change. Yeah. It's beautiful. So as I was asking you about right before we went to the break and the news, Alan, you teach at UWGB and you teach acting. How, you know, obviously having done what you do, been a working actor, helps you teach. But does teaching acting help you in any way be a better actor? Like, do you take something out of class or maybe something one of your students does where you go, oh my God, that's a great interpretation or something like that?
Absolutely.
Really?
I mean, I think teachers all the time say they learn from their students. But it's absolutely true. At least it's true for me. I see the way students approach things, and that might spark something for me. Sometimes it's a positive spark. It's like, oh wow, that's a really interesting approach I never thought of. Sometimes it's like, no, we can't do it that way, and now I see even more clearly why.
Wow.
But
do you ever have a kid that's so bad you try to get him to go to welding school or something like that? Does that ever?
No, because if they are passionate about studying this, I know that there's something there that's going to benefit them.
Great point.
And in fact, I think anybody going into any profession can learn from the study of theater, especially to me in acting class, which is the study of human behavior and why do people do things. I think that can help us in all of our human relations throughout our lifetime.
Do you ever go into, I've never seen the spaces, the theater spaces like at UWGB, but do you ever go into a theater? What, maybe it was in Chicago when you were at Steppenwolf or one of these places, and just sit there and absorb a theater with nobody in it.
Yeah.
It's almost like a spiritual, it's so, I don't know if it's cathartic or what it is, but it's just a beautiful thing to do.
Yeah. You know, sometimes I walk into a theater and I recognize the smell.
Yeah.
You know, oh, yep. And then all the memories start flooding back. And sometimes I'll want to just sort of sit and bask in that.
That's so great. So, you teach theater. You're also an intimacy coordinator. And I think this is such a great thing they have. As someone who has done an intimate scene and didn't have a coordinator there, luckily I had a veteran actress that had done it before and helped me through it. It's a weird thing because you've got people, you've got crew standing 5 feet away while you're trying to be intimate and make it seem real. But I think, you know, recently Gwyneth Paltrow came out and said, we don't need this. When I was younger, we didn't. And I'm like, you saying that, first of all, for women, I think that are younger, it's a terrible thing not to have. And for her to say that, I just thought that was misplaced. What have you noticed, like, in terms of intimacy coordinating? Is that something you had to study? And how do you think it really helps people in an intimate scene like that?
Sure. So this is something that people really only started talking about 10 years ago.
Yeah.
It has been just rapidly and wholeheartedly embraced by much of the both on camera and on stage industry, because it is crazy that we were putting people together who may have just met that day.
Right.
And said, okay, we're going to do a scene where you're making out, or we're going to do a scene where you've just completed a sexual act, or whatever it is. And then just said, okay, go.
Wow.
And so the idea of actually being thoughtful and sensitive about it was revolutionary.
Everybody wins. Yeah.
I've been in a lot of intimate scenes that, you know, worked out fine. But it would have been so much better to have had somebody there.
Sure.
Who's just kind of the person to say, okay, we're entering into something pretty intimate between two people who don't know each other. Let's establish some boundaries. Let's talk about what's going to work for us. We think about women being more uncomfortable with this, and I think that's largely true. But there are also obstacles. Let's say the male is the aggressor in the scene in some way.
Right, or you're getting a bad vibe from him somehow.
Like, you don't know.
Yeah.
Where can I put my hand?
Right.
That's going to be okay. What kind of kiss should this be? I don't know. You know, everybody involved, even if you're comfortable with them being intimate with you, you don't know how comfortable they are with you being intimate
with
them. So you're both starting from this weird, uncomfortable place. And yet you're supposed to make this look like, I don't know, you've been married 25 years or you've become passionately interested in each other over the last hour and a half. But we're doing right. it from this artificial place and without that exchange of, okay, where's okay to touch? You know, and instead of approaching the choreography of it in sexual terms, to say, I'm going to put my hand here and then I'm going to move it in this way. We're going to bring our lips together and hold them together for a four count. You know, that's... It's a much more sensitive way.
Right.
If the actors then want to use whatever their practice is in turning that into something romantic, sexual, whatever, that is their responsibility.
Sure.
But for a director or the intimacy choreographer to start putting value-based sexual connotations in what the choreography is can make people really uncomfortable.
Yeah, wow, that's a great answer. It makes you kind of wonder, like, why didn't they have? I mean, Hollywood's been around for 100 years. You know,
theater's been around for thousands of years.
Why didn't they have this rather than just relying on two people who might be talented at acting? That's a whole different ballgame when you're touching other people in intimate places and kind of stuff like that. So, I just feel like it surprised me that it's only been around. It's one of those things where you hear about it and you're like, yes, of course we should have that. Why haven't we? You know, it's like. Yeah.
And there are people who say, oh my God, why do we need this? It's just a simple kiss.
Yeah.
Big deal. Well, you don't know what everybody's experience is. Right. Sometimes you come in as an intimacy choreographer and you have a talk with the people involved and you go, you don't need me. You're fine.
Right. Oh, that's interesting. Yeah. That's great stuff. My guest is Alan Kopischke. He's an actor and he is one of the producers of the Door Kinetic Arts Festival. He is also an intimacy coordinator. And a theater actor. He's also worked in TV. You did an episode of Walker, Texas Ranger. What was that like?
Oh, that was fun.
Was it?
It was a blast. So I played a character who was kind of like Bill Gates.
Okay.
Having an anniversary party at a fancy hotel with a golf course. And then Mitch Pileggi. If you remember this guy, he was
X-Files.
Yeah. So he was, Mulder and Scully's boss.
Their boss. Yeah, he's like kind of a alpha dude kind of actor, right?
Yeah, so he was the bad guy.
Okay.
He was leading a team of people coming in and getting money from us. It was a lot of fun. I got to drive a golf cart into a pond with Clarence Gilliard, or actually I think he was driving. And then get punched by one of the stuntmen.
Oh, nice!
And it was a really fun episode. I want on my gravestone that Chuck Norris said to me, "You take a punch really well."
Oh, nice! What better guy to have? A guy who's dished out a few punches. So your theater background, I'm always amazed at this. Like, I didn't do a whole lot of theater. I did some, but it was when I was very young. The best actors on camera typically have a theater background. Yet theater and film are very different in many ways. Why is that?
Well, I think, you know, they share a lot of skills. It's, you know, it's opening yourself up, being vulnerable. It's just being able to adjust the scale and what works in those different environments. So there are a lot of kind of technical skills, I think, that are different. But if you can learn them, then if you've got the theater training, then you're already to kind of unleash that if you've got the technical skills. Now, there are other folks who go straight into on-camera work and are great because they've got the instincts to do that.
That's interesting. That's really what it comes down to for both, right? Our instincts. And you have them, whether you do theater or film. If you're good at either one of them, you probably have them in both, right?
You have some of them, I think.
Yeah.
Some of them you have to develop.
Okay.
Yeah.
I ask everybody almost that comes on the show what they're binge watching. We have about 30 seconds left. Anything you could recommend?
Well, my wife and I just finished a Billy Joel documentary.
Oh, my wife watched that. She said it was great.
Yeah, it's on HBO, HBO Max, whatever they want us to call it now.
It's just HBO again now. They couldn't make up their mind. Alan, this was fun. Thank you so much for your time. Thanks for making the drive in from the burbs, from beautiful Door County.
Bet.
And let's do this again as your festival gets closer.
All right.
Thanks, Alan Kopischke, ladies and gentlemen, we're coming back to read your texts and make you part of the show. The phone lines are open, folks. Let us know. It's Peach Wabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
I'm Rick Smith, host of The Rick Smith Show. If you're looking for honest talk, real stories, and straight up news that matters to you, tune in to The Rick Smith Show. We're digging into the issues that affect your job, your family, your future. Join me weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network, because your voice deserves to be heard. That's The Rick Smith Show, heard weeknights at 9 right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
One of the most basic things that a free people could want, not going bankrupt because of healthcare. If it sounds like I'm banging my head against the microphone, yeah, it's that we are having this discussion about having to hold benefits for people because they didn't have proper health insurance coverage, because they're threatened with bankruptcy, which again happens in no other developed country in the world.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
We are jamming through a Monday night here at Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. I am Pete Schwabe, Conrad Krieger, working the board. Our question of the night, it is National Cookie Day, folks. Who makes the best? No, it's National Chocolate Chip Cookie Day. Who makes the best chocolate chip cookie? I say Mrs. Fields. Conrad says Uncle Mike's Bakery in Suamico.
And everywhere.
Have you noticed that, like, Suamico, everybody I've ever met all of a sudden lives in Suamico?
I don't know anyone that lives in Suamico.
It's the center of the universe right now. Everybody lives in Suamico. I'm exaggerating for effect. Paula Krieger on the stream, she's watching. She says, any cookies I don't have to make. I do like fresh, warm cookies from a bakery.
Uncle Mike.
That surprises me. I thought your mom would be more of a baker.
She's made
the way you've described her, you know. And
She makes cookies, but I don't think she likes to do it.
Break and bakes?
You know, they're nice little chocolate chips.
What's wrong with break and bakes? Peter on the stream says, there is a Mrs. Fields in Bay Park Square in Green Bay.
Oh, really?
Conrad, we are going. Yep. We are road tripping, and then we're going to go see the next Naked Gun when it comes out. Let us know who makes the best chocolate chip cookies. We'll get your text in just a little bit. Right now, it is my pleasure to welcome to the show for the first time. This is exciting, folks. I was an English major. I used to be a huge reader, and I am no longer a huge reader anymore. I do read periodically, but I'm very excited to welcome my next guest. Kaylin Bevink owns The Bookstore in Appleton, and it is a destination bookstore. We'll talk about that, too, with a huge array of used books. And she joins us now over the stream here at Nightlight. Kaylin Bevink. Hi, Kaylin.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm doing all right. How are you?
I'm doing very well. I know that this was a bit of a concern for you. You wanted to do the stream so you could be in your jammies, although it still looks like you're dressed for success for the day. You don't look like you're in your jammies, unless you have very distinguished jammies.
I mean, jammies are anything that's soft, and, you know, once you get in the house, certain articles come off.
Listen, so. I sleep in a turtleneck every night, so I don't know what I'm talking about. So either way,
that's a choice.
Regardless of your attire, it's great to have you here, and it's really nice to meet you. This was interesting. A destination bookstore. That's how your place was described. I don't know if it was described to me that way in your bio or if Eliza, if that's how she presented you. But tell us what that means and tell us about your bookstore, which is called The Bookstore.
Yeah. So I would say, so in a way, yes, we are a destination bookstore. We have tons and tons of regulars in the area, but we also have regulars from across the state and across the world. Wow. We've got a gal that lives in Saudi Arabia that every time she's in the area, she stops by. So we see her like twice a year.
Okay.
You know, we've got some regulars that used to live in the area, but every time they're back visiting, they come back and visit the store. We get people, I mean, we get new people in every day. We get people that do, like they're on little bookstore road trips and they'll kind of hit us up and a couple of other bookstores in the area. So yeah, people like us or something.
Does it make you a little bit sad? Like it's kind of cool what you just said. They take little tours of bookstores. I mean, when I was a kid, bookstores were everywhere. People read, and now like they're almost a novelty in some ways, and people do seek out, like whenever I'm in Madison, there's a couple used bookstores I wander into just because I like the aesthetics, you know what I mean? And
yeah,
they're just great, soothing, calm places. Has that helped you? I mean, you must have, tell us a little bit about the space you have.
So we moved about 3 years ago and doubled, and not quite, but pretty close to doubled in size because we just ran out of room in our old spot.
Wow.
But it's 4,800 square feet and it's just chock full of books. We have, I think last when I did the numbers, we have close to 94,000 books in the building.
Wow.
So if you can't find something, you might want to open your eyes because there will be something there you want.
Do you get sarcastic like that with the customers? Like, really? You can't find anything?
No, not quite that bad. Yes, there is a huge degree of sarcasm that happens in the store. Absolutely. But we're always friendly about it. That's the key.
All right. That's good. Well, that's pretty cool. So are there like places to sit? Can people like curl up with a book at your store? Do you encourage that kind of thing? Is it a community?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, a lot of people describe it as a maze. It's not really a maze, but if they want to feel like it's a maze, that's okay by me. and so within each section, we'll have multiple chairs or stools around because we have a lot of elderly customers and sometimes you just have to sit, and, you know, take the time to look through the book to be like, hey, is this what I really want? You know, so we have baskets and chairs all over the place. So you can plop down wherever you want. If you want to plop down the floor, that's cool too. But some of us need a little help getting off the ground. So we have chairs for those people as well. We get people sometimes they'll come out of the stocks a couple hours later and we're like, I didn't realize they were still here.
How did you end up in this racket? Like, did you have a book background? Were you a publisher or what did you do that got you here?
So how I ended up in this is, for many years I was a certified veterinary technician and that is not a job for older people. It's very hard on the body. I got ill and was never able to go back to that full time. So I thought, okay, what can I do that won't drive me crazy? And so when I was in high school, my very first job was at a used bookstore. And I was like, you know what? Maybe I should go back to that. And then I talked to the former owner, Laura, who used to own the bookstore. And I was like, hey, would you ever consider selling your store? And she was like, yes, because someday I want to retire. So it kind of just all fell into place. And here we are 8 years later. We're still doing it. The store's been around since 1977. So we must be doing something right.
That is spectacular. All right. We're going to learn more about the bookstore in Appleton from owner Kaylin Bavink. We're coming right back after the news. We'll have a few more minutes with Kaylin. It's Peach Wabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap. Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
CBS News Brief. Texas Governor Greg Abbott's ordered civil arrests of a group of Democratic lawmakers who left the state to block passage of new congressional maps. Texas House Speaker Dustin Burroughs.
Whether it's tomorrow or next week, the House will complete its required duties.
A massive wildfire has chewed through more than 72,000 acres of Los Padres National Forest north of L.A. Fire Captain Mark Nunez.
This is a very rapidly fast-moving fire through steep terrain with lots of dry vegetation. It takes a lot of personnel to take on something of this size.
In Nebraska, calls to vote out GOP Congressman Mike Flood as he defended the president's budget package at a town hall in Lincoln.
When President Trump passed the 2017 tax cuts, we saw explosive growth in this country.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
The Brewers win again. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. A rainy night in Georgia. The Brewers and the Braves playing in the mist. Top of the fourth, two men on. And the Brewers' Isaac Collins at the plate. FanDuel, Wisconsin.
Well, it's 3-2 on Collins. See if they send Yelich. He goes. And a swing and a drive to right field. This has hit a ton. It is gone for Collins. A three-run shot. The Brewers have the lead. Seventh home run of the year for Isaac Collins.
How about this kid, Isaac Collins?
The Brewers held on to win 3-1. Their fourth win in a row, thanks to some great base running. Pat Murphy.
I still chalk it up to we base run, you know what I mean? William taking off 3-2 there. The threat of Yelly stealing there 3-2. Maybe it changed the pitch that they threw Collins. Who knows? But credit to Isaac. You know, he put a great swing on a pitch.
NFL, the Packers' new starting defensive back, Nate Hobbs, out for at least the next 3 weeks after having knee surgery. The team hoping to have him back for the season opener against the Lions. With sports, on Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Fantastic Four, The First Steps, was tops at the box office this past weekend, despite a bigger attendance dip than prognosticators initially thought. The film opened strong with $117 million last weekend, but dropped off by almost 70% to pull in only $40 million this past weekend. According to Variety, that is a sign the film has not connected with audiences beyond superhero fans. The film is sitting at $198 million domestically and cost $200 million to make. Coming in second place was The Bad Guys 2, which brought in just under $23 million, matching the original film's take on opening weekend in 2022. Audience scores were through the roof, which could mean the film will be in theaters for a while. Landing in third place with $17 million at the gate was the highly anticipated The Naked Gun. The film pulled in another $12 million overseas. Audience scores for this comedy are also strong. Superman and Jurassic World Rebirth rounded out the top five. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
We are going to be dealing with more of that wildfire smoke today. Otherwise, mostly sunny with a high right around 82 this afternoon. Tonight, clear. We're going to drop down to 63 tomorrow. More sunshine with a high right around 85. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Current temp 62.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
It's fun to look back and laugh now.
That was a bad day.
There are marriages that have died on less. Our first actual fight as a married couple was about the house rules of playing Monopoly. We've not really played Monopoly since. When you can modify an app, you can modify the rules of the game. Maybe there are times when you are better off just playing the computer. Play something else with your spouse instead.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
Maggie Dawn.
Well, I'm off enjoying the sights and sounds of some of my favorite places in Wisconsin. Guest hosts are stepping in with sharp insights into Wisconsin politics and beyond. Don't miss these great conversations.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Welcome back. Tomorrow night on the show, ladies and gentlemen, photographer and musician Chris Rogowski will be here. Is Chris coming in? I can't remember.
Yeah, yeah, in studio.
That's great. He'll be here in studio. And then also one of our Nightlight besties, film critic, Madison film critic, Rob Thomas will be here as well. That's tomorrow night on Nightlight. Right now we have a few more minutes with our current guest, Kaylin Bevink. She is the owner of the bookstore in Appleton, a destination bookstore, ladies and gentlemen. If you haven't been there, you got to check it out. Is it weird, Kaylin, that I love bookstores, but I don't read nearly as much as I used to or as much as I should?
No, there is. We like to say buying books and reading books are two very different hobbies.
Interesting.
The thrill of the hunt to find like that missing title that you haven't had is there's a big draw for that. I mean, it's okay if you buy books and don't read them. It's also as long as they're for me. No,
they look good on the shelf too.
Right.
What is your favorite book? Do you have one?
That is a hard question because it depends on the mood I'm in and the type. You know, like I have favorite historical fiction. I have favorite mystery.
What's your favorite historical fiction?
Favorite historical fiction, probably I would put The Four Winds by Kristen Hanna.
Okay.
That one would definitely be up there in the top for favorites for historical fiction.
Nice.
That one's about the Great Depression. So, you know, really uplifting book.
I think my all-time favorite book is On the Road. Are you a fan? I know some people who are true literary insiders sometimes give it a bad rap, but oh God, I love that book.
I am not a huge fan of poetry or poetry-like things. Because are you talking about Jack?
Yeah, the Kerouac. Just him traveling the country, you know, after the war.
Yeah. I mean, I just finished Travels with Charlie by Steinbeck.
Oh, nice.
But once they get a little, I don't know. I haven't dived into Kerouac because it seems like I would not qualify myself as a book snob. But that seems a little too highbrow for me.
Oh man, believe me, if I can read it three times, it's not highbrow.
Right.
What are you? Where do you get all these books? You said you have over 9,000 books. You go to publishers? Is there a market or brokers?
Over 90,000.
Yeah. Sorry. How do you obtain them?
Okay, so we do have a selection of, like, I would say 1-2% of our stock is new books that we order, you know, from the same distributor every bookstore can order from at this point. And the rest are books that people trade in, and we give them trade credit for it. And the trade credit we give them is basically a half off coupon on all of the used books in the store. So our used books are approximately half price to begin with. If you have trade credit, you then get it for half the price.
Nice.
And half comes off your trade credit. So they're from the community.
Wow.
You know, they're, you know, we could, you know, occasionally I'll go to library sales and pick some extra stuff up. But I mean, I have 90,000 plus books in the store. I don't really necessarily have to run to those things, but I go to some of those as well too, to kind of fill in some of the gaps on things we like to stereotypically say that, like, we never get a good cache of sci-fi books come in unless somebody's weird relative dies. We always call them the weird uncle books, which, you know, half the time me and the staff are like, oh, wait, we got first dibs. This is a good one. They're the majority is from just within the community.
God, 90,000 books. I think if I worked for you, if I was like working behind the counter and somebody came in and just said, do you have such and such? I'd just go, probably. help yourself. Like,
well, luckily we have everything inventoried in the computer system that we have, so we can look to see if we have it and where we have
all
it.
Right, thank God.
The bookstore I worked at in high school was smaller than this, but it was filled to the gills, like stacks in front of stacks in front of stacks. And we have to be like, well, if we did, it's probably over here, and you know, start digging. There's no stacks in front of stacks in front of the bookcases here. We make sure everything's like neat, trip-free zone. We don't need our awesome elderlies taking a digger on us.
Oh yeah, probably best for everyone. Before we let you go, I know when Eliza introduced us, she talked about a Beach Reads promotion. And what is that? And has it passed, or are you still getting the word out?
So we don't specifically have a Beach Reads promotion.
Okay.
You know, we have a, because a Beach Read is different for every person. So a Beach Read for me won't be the same Beach Read for, you know, somebody's grandma or somebody that's, you know, 20, 30 years younger than me, because everybody has different tastes.
Yeah.
But luckily our books are so cheap, you don't need to have a promotion in order to, you know, get good savings.
Okay. Is this just something like people read on the beach? Is that what it means?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, so depending on, some people call a beach read a fluffy book. Some people call it a book you read while you're on the beach.
Sure.
So I don't think there's a solid definition of what's a beach read and what's not. To me, a beach read is something you read while you're sitting on the beach. From what I read when somebody's sitting on the beach and somebody else, you know, it's probably going to be different.
Yeah. One guy's reading Jaws. The other person's reading Little Women or something. So it works out.
Exactly. Exactly. still beach reads.
Kaylin, thank you so much for your time. Continued success. And I cannot wait to visit your store.
Yeah. Stop on by.
We'll do.
We're open 10 to 7 during the week and 10 to 4 on Saturdays.
Outstanding. Check out the bookstore in Appleton, folks. And Kaylin, have a great night. Thanks so much.
You too.
All right. Conrad, are you a reader?
Back in my day, yeah.
Back in your day?
When I had to for school.
Many moons ago. All right, so we're going to read some text, and then I've got a clip. Lonnie Anderson passed away, I think yesterday or the day before. She, of course, played Jennifer Marlowe on WKRP in Cincinnati. Great show. And back then, she was kind of, you know, there were blonde, they used to call them blonde bombshells everywhere. What I love about Lonnie Anderson's story is she had a pretty good resume. She had done a lot of guest starring roles, and she went into audition for this, you know, part of this Pretty Secretary, and she told them she didn't want to play the role so stereotypically. And the producer said, well, what would you do? And she said, I want to be the smartest person in the room, and I don't want to get coffee, and I don't want to take dictation. So she kind of rewrote the character before she even had the role, did the audition, crushed it, and she ended up playing Jennifer Marlowe. And she's a very funny part of the show. She and Herb Tarlick were like my two favorite characters. But she passed away at 79. She had tons of other credits, too. She was married to Burt Reynolds for a while. That didn't work out. They had a pretty messy divorce, probably because he's Burt Reynolds. I don't want to put it all on Burt. You know, the guy did Stroker Ace and Smokey and the Bandit. He's got some great credits, but it did not end well. But I put kind of two clips back to back here of Lonnie Anderson, and I think she's just great as Jennifer Marlowe. Here she is interacting with the big guy, Art Carlson, and Herb Tarlick.
Oh, that's fine. That should do it. No, that'll take care of it. There's no need to bother Mr. Carlson with this. He's a very busy man. Thank you. Oh, good morning, Mr. Carlson.
Morning, Jennifer. Hey, what was that?
Nothing you need to know about.
Oh, good. I feel like the way you handle things.
Just all part of my job.
Well, nobody does it better. How about the mail?
That's the important stuff. This is yours.
Oh. Well, I'm sorry.
Good morning, my guy.
Oh, hey, Herb, how's it going?
Terrific. Excuse me. Morning, gorgeous. You got anything for me?
Only the mail, Herb. That's all I'll ever have for you. You want me, Mr. Carlson?
Oh, yeah. Come in, Jennifer. Have a seat.
No, thank you.
Well, all right. This particular point in time, I would like to dictate a press release.
I don't take dictation.
Oh, all right. I guess I can do this thing myself. It's probably going to be a long meeting, though, so why don't you get coffee for all the guys here?
I don't get coffee, Mr. Carlson. We agree. You have to draw the line somewhere. Will there be anything else I can do?
No, I ain't got about a dozen.
Thank you.
Oh, no. Thank you.
Oh, no. Thank you. He was a funny character. Mr. Carlson was the do-nothing. I don't know if he inherited the radio station, but he was kind of bungling. And then I think the actor's name was Frank Bonner, who played Herb Tarlick, who was always hitting on Jennifer. Just really funny stuff. And she is one of the funnier characters, in my opinion, from any sitcom in like the 70s, 80s, or 90s. Very funny stuff. Okay, so we've got some texts we got to catch up in here, Con. Have you noticed that?
Yeah.
Were you about to like crack the whip and say, yo, Schwabba, what up?
I was about to pound the glass, separating us.
Monica from Mount Horeb, she's in the 608, says, Brick's Cider in Mount Horeb makes a darn good chocolate chip cookie. They also make an amazing molasses ginger cookie.
Mm.
I'm sorry, Monica, but molasses ginger cookies tomorrow night. We're talking chocolate chip cookies tonight. Please stick with the program.
I don't know. Those sound dynamite.
That does. I like a good molasses cookie. Thank you, Monica. Great stuff. John Murray from Madison. I believe he is in the Atwood neighborhood. We've gotten to know John quite well here. He and his old lady, as he so eloquently refers to his wife. John says her name is Mary Ellen Murray. She leaves the walnuts out for her favorite grandson. Is he referring to Mrs. Fields?
I'm not sure.
I don't either, but I think that's probably what that's, let's see, what time was that? 6:21. Yes, at 6:21, I was talking exactly about Mrs. Fields.
And your hate for Cookie.
Do you think I have that capability? I could just recall what minute I was talking. I don't like cookie dough and ice cream. Enough. Enough with the cookie dough. It's like the Brian Regan joke. Like, I don't know who the cranberry sales guy is, but he's getting in all the other juices. Like, cranberry is in every single juice. That's how I feel about cookie dough in every ice cream. It's an unsettling discovery when you're eating ice cream, in my opinion. John says, what the hell is with the walnuts? Are they filler? Are they a filler? It's not 1933 anymore. Let's lose the walnuts. Who's with me? I don't know. Who's with John? John's a pal from the 608.
I don't think I've ever had a walnut in a cookie.
Really?
And I don't think I'd need one.
I just saw a guy walking by out here, the window without a shirt on, and someone should tell him not to do that. It was.
Do you want me to run offensive. Out there?
That guy was the cookie dough in ice cream of shirtless sidewalk walkers. That was horrible. I thought I had white skin. This dude, holy smokes. Got off on a tangent there. I don't know, John. I don't know what to tell. I don't mind walnuts with a chocolate chip. I love it. An oatmeal chocolate chip walnut cookie.
Oatmeal cookies are fantastic.
But do you like them with chocolate chips?
Oh, no.
No?
Oh, sorry. I thought you were saying walnuts.
No, I never tried it. I said walnuts.
Yes. Yeah. I like oatmeal raisin cookies too. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah. I can't do the raisins.
I can't do raisins by itself, but I can do it in the oatmeal cookie.
Listen, I'd muscle them down. If the oatmeal cookie surrounding the raisin was dynamite, I would do it. Monica from Mount Horeb also says, sorry, I love cookie dough in my ice cream. I will never grow up. Please don't, Monica, and please never stop texting. Jack from Merrimack says, who makes the best chocolate chip cookies? I make the best chocolate chip cookies. He says modestly, parenthetically, I got the recipe from my mom, added more vanilla, and tweaked the brown sugar to regular sugar ratio. I think mom based it on the recipe on the Quaker Oats box in the 60s. Now that's a text. Thank you, Jack. We're coming right back to read more of your texts. It's Pete Schwabba and Nightlight. So glad you're here, folks. Don't go away. We're coming right back.
Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government buy-in for the people. We're exploring redistricting this week, including its cheating side. By manipulating which voters are in a voting district, the party in power can rig the system to guarantee a win for that party. Ronald Reagan called it the anti-democratic and un-American practice of gerrymandering. Gerrymandering was named for Elbridge Gerry, Massachusetts governor and signer of the Declaration of Independence, who approved an 1812 partisan map resembling a salamander. Partisan legislatures still pack members of their own party into snake-like districts to create safe seats and protect incumbents, or crack a district which leans to the opposing party and dilute its power by adding friendly voters. Gerrymandering flies in the face of the American ideal of competition. Safe seat incumbents don't have to work as hard to get elected because once they win the primary, they're a shoo-in to win the general. It suppresses competition between parties and new candidates whose ideas might benefit constituents. Primaries become a race to the bottom as candidates cater to hardcore, more extreme party primary voters and ignore centrist voters and independents. The lack of competition also suppresses turnout as voters say, "Why should I bother? It's already decided." There's an even more insidious form of gerrymandering, racial gerrymandering. We have more on that tomorrow. Find more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Matt Nair on air.
Here's my gripe. MTV made it possible for really subpar performers to become stars. Madonna would never have been a star if it hadn't been for MTV and her grinding her way across the floor in a wedding dress.
See, that's where I think your gripe isn't with MTV. I think your gripe is with Madonna grinding on MTV.
Thank you, Matt from Richland Center. How dare you, Jane?
Matt Nair on air. Weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe.
I guarantee you there's a market for people who want to watch a middle-aged guy change his clothes, do his dishes. People are so bored and will look at anything. So what I thought could be fun, and Conrad, I need your okay on this. I would never, you know, volunteer you for this, but you and I should both set up OnlyFans page and see who gets more followers.
I'm okay on that. I don't think
he's
I'll
blushing.
Sign. Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Mommy, can I sit in the front seat just this one time? Please, please, please.
No, not yet.
But why?
Because I love you, and you're just not ready yet. Now, get in the back so I can get you in your car seat, please.
Putting your kids in the right seat for their age and size is an act of love. Check that your kids are in the right seat at NHTSA.gov/the right seat. Love protects. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Reach, engage, grow with Civic Media. Log on civicmedia.us/advertise.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Welcome back to Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe. I am Pete Schwalbe. Kid Conrad Krieger running the board tonight. Like, thank my guests. Alan Kapischke, that was fun. Folks, you can get in your car and be at the Door Kinetic Arts Festival from Green Bay in probably less than an hour. Check it out in September. And also the bookstore in Appleton. We just talked to bookstore owner Kalen Bavink. Two great places right here in Northeast Wisconsin. We've got some more text here. K-Man, we got to get through. I fell a little bit behind. And I found Luke Mather's response a bit unsettling. I'm not going to lie.
Well, we need to just go through this hate of cookie dough and just, you know.
It's real. It's not quite, it's more, even more so than my hatred. No, not my hate, my hatred, my misunderstanding of the handshake custom. Cookie dough is worse. It's offensive.
Wow.
I'm kidding. I think Mary Ellen is John's grandmother. I went back and reread that text. So sorry we got that wrong, John. But Monique in Madison, she's in the 608, says, when I was 12 years old, I went to go see who?
Some play, I assume.
EQUUS in Rockford. They had full frontal nudity of the man, and it shocked everyone in the audience. I'm 60 now, so do the math. You can't say you just saw full frontal male nudity and asked me to do the math, because my 12-year-old brain is going to make a joke about that. Monique, I'm sorry that traumatized you. That's how some theater, some shows are like that. You know, you get these actors. I don't know. So John Murray also says Mary Ellen made a mean gingerbread cookie, too. Again, no nuts, please. The walnuts are the anti-sweet ad in that I cannot reconcile. So... All right, so John has a thing for walnuts, or against walnuts, like I have, with cookie dough and ice cream. I just can't dig it. Steve from Florida says, my favorite chocolate chip cookie is my wife's, Conrad's mom. She also makes a great-tasting chocolate chip peanut butter cookie as well. Also, I got to say, Any kind of cookie dough is scrum-delicious. Oh, man, your dad and I were like thick as thieves for until that text, Conrad. I cannot. Scrum-delicious? Come on, Steve, you're better than that. Also, I thought your mom said she any cookie she didn't have to make was her favorite.
Yeah, I mean, she makes cookies. I just don't think she likes doing it.
She makes them for your dad. All right.
They are good cookies.
That's love. Tom from New Berlin says, my mother is, as a kid, always fresh out of the oven like Midwest Express. Those, you know, every once in a while, like a marketing thing just works. I used to fly Midwest Express because they had a direct flight to L.A. So for like 14 years, as long as Midwest Express was in operation, we would always try to fly Midwest Express. And it was solely because you got on an airplane smelling chocolate chip cookies. They were that good. And they would always give you more, like they were generous. It's not like the airlines now where it's like, no, you get one cookie, eat it and get out. Luke Mathers says, Pete's convinced me. Luke is one of our brethren here at Civic Media. He says, I'm going to have some cookie dough ice cream from my freezer tonight to celebrate National Chocolate Chip Cookie Day. Luke, I don't know what goes on in your home. I don't want to know what goes on in your home, but I've heard enough. Enjoy it, buddy. I read Monique. Okay, we got one more here. Getting through these. John says, if you stay at a Country Inn & Suites hotel, the first smell in the lobby is warm chocolate chip cookies baked on site. Nice touch. That is very Midwest Express. John also says, it's all you can eat. That's how they get you. They fatten you up. Then you need a bigger room next time you go. See how that works, John? from the 920, Andy from Green Bay says, Uncle Mike's makes an incredible... Yes. NYT? New York Times chocolate chip cookie?
New York. I don't know what the T stands for.
And New York. I don't know either. We need clarification, Andy. But we get the gist. Uncle Mike's is dynamite. And then John again says, it's my granny, silly. Okay. You know what, John? You don't need to get lippy. I don't know your family. They sound a little hostile. I'm not going to lie. Maybe that's why they made you cookies, to calm you down. I figured out it was your grandma. It took me a while, but I reread your text. Thank you, John. Always good to hear from you, buddy. Steady Eddie says, Pete, my mom made the best chocolate chip cookies of all time. We called them cowboy cookies. Yahoo, yippee-ki-yum. All right. That's right. That's up there great. With Scrum Delicious.
No, that was great.
Conrad likes it. All right. I guess that's a keeper, Steady Eddie. He says, I'll fight anyone who says otherwise. Eat your heart out, Famous Amos. You know what, Steady Eddie? Conrad has been bad-mouthing you for a long time, so if you want to fight someone... Conrad's got a line around the block of people who want to fight him.
I guess so.
You think you could take Steady Eddie?
I don't know.
You could probably take him when he's Steadfast Edward. I'll take him Steady
out,
Eddie.
You know, I'll take him out for some dinner because he's nice. brought some good food recommendations every time he's texted in. So,
and we're lovers here at night, like we're not fighters. Our pal Corey Hartman here at Civic Media, a fellow Civic Media brother, says, I absolutely don't need nuts in any baked good ever. Thank you for your support. Corey, that's why we're here, you know, and Corey doesn't need support from anyone, but we will support him nonetheless. Thank you, buddy.
You know what? The nut that's really good in a baked good, some nice nuts in banana bread with some butter on top.
I should take this moment to say that today is actual Grab Some Nuts Day. It really is. That's a national holiday. It would have been too easy for me to go there and make the question about that. And I wasn't gonna invite that kind of chaos to Nightlight tonight. John says, what a jab. Ouch. I'm teasing, John. You know we love you. And Tom from New Berlin says, love our listeners. You bet we do, Tom. I'm glad you do too. On the stream, one more comment here before we get out of here. Dave says, anyone who makes them for their waiting room.
Yeah.
Okay. What does he mean, like a doctor? Oh, like if you're like a Jiffy Lube or something.
Yeah, actually, you know, those places make some dynamite good chocolate cookies.
Well, I love guys that change my oil and make cookies, too. That, who doesn't want that?
The same hands? Don't wash it? Get that oil up in there.
Tom, you got a fan here, Con. Tom says, Pete rocks because of Conrad. All right.
There we go.
No argument there. All right, everybody. Thank you for your texts and calls tonight. So much fun here. Thank you to Alan Kapischke and Kaylin Bavink. We'll be back tomorrow night with Madison film critic Rob Thomas and photographer and musician Chris Rogowski from here in Northeast Wisconsin. We are coming back tomorrow night to do this all over again, folks. So let's start counting the minutes. On behalf of the lovable producer Conrad, I'm Pete Schwabba saying good night, Wisconsin. I'll sing it to your best friend's house, Mama.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Texas Governor Greg Abbott's ordered the civil arrests of Democratic lawmakers who fled the state to block new congressional maps that favor Republicans. Democrat Anna Hernandez is in Boston.
You don't get to change the rules and say, I'm going to redraw these districts because I want to make sure that I stay in power.
A federal court has directed border agents to stop deporting migrants under President Trump's asylum ban. CBS's Camila Montoya Galvez.
This order will be stayed or paused for about 2 weeks, and it is possible that a higher court could suspend it before it actually takes effect.
New research shows more people between the ages of 45 and 49 are getting colonoscopies. CBS News chief medical correspondent John LaPook, who's a gastroenterologist, says it's a win-win.
It can save your life. Almost every colon cancer starts off as a benign polyp that over the years turns into cancer.
He says the earlier colon cancer is detected, the more curable it is. CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.